Hello and welcome to the IABC Ottawa podcast, The Voice. Ottawa is one of the International Association of Business Communicators' largest chapters in the world, and we are pleased to bring you a podcast that covers everything from marketing, strategy, social media, crisis comms, public affairs, and whatever else is relevant to communicators. I'm your host, Sherry Ask. And welcome to IABC Ottawa's The Voice, episode 130, which is all about how to build personal and professional resilience and how it can help communicators. So this episode is coming out in May, and it's actually launching during Canada's Mental Health Week. So it seemed like a really good time to discuss resilience. I don't know about you guys, but I think there may be some of us who, in the third wave, feel like we've maybe reached our breaking point for the third time now, and it just keeps going. So we have a really great guest this month. In a moment, you're going to hear from Tara Sutorius, who is a fellow IABC Ottawa board member, but she's also a leadership and wellness coach and a director of communications at Export Development Canada. And she's been offering resilience training in her personal practice and at EDC. So she's seen a lot this past year, and she's got a lot of really great insights and practical advice that I found useful, and I can't wait to share with you guys as well. Before we get into the interview, though, I also wanted to let you know about a resource IABC Ottawa has on its website for mental health. You can go to ottawa.iabc.com and go to the search bar, and if you type in mental health, it will bring you to the chapter's mental health resource guide. And this is a beautifully laid out guide of local crisis lines, walk-in mental health clinics, online support, and self-help resources. It's so helpful. And I know if you're struggling, often sometimes the biggest barrier is that you don't have the energy to seek help or to find where you can get help. So this puts it all in one place. So again, go to our website, go to the search bar, type in mental health, and the guide will come up. It's a great resource to have anytime, but particularly this month. And with that, let's get into the interview and the conversation about personal and professional resilience. Hi, Tara. Thank you so much for joining me, and welcome to The Voice.
Hi, Sherry. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So to start, why don't you tell listeners a bit about your own background? Because in addition to working in communications, you are also a leadership and wellness coach. So can you tell us a bit about what you do?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess first and foremost, I am a mom of two teen boys. Well, a tween and a teen. And let me tell you, that's all kinds of fun right now as we're back to remote school in Ontario. I'm also partner to a wonderful man, my fiance, and we have our own fun challenges right now because we live in two different houses with five kids between us. I'm a wellness and leadership coach. That's really my my passion, my sort of hobby. I have clients on nights and weekends. I'm the director of communications at EDC, working with an absolutely amazing and talented team. And we've probably had our busiest year and a half ever, but engaged and learning every day as we work through so many new things. And I'm also a volunteer with IABC's board in Ottawa as the executive vice president this year and moving into an advisor role next year. So lots on my plate, but all pieces that actually really helped me build my resilience. And I know that's something we're going to dig into today. And I'm really excited.
Yes. And that sounds like a lot, a lot. So I guess after hearing all of that, how would you define resilience?
You know, I guess doing my introduction, I've got, you know, my five things that I sort of define myself as, but those are the things that fill my cup. Right. And so, when I think about resilience, I think it's really our ability to be able to cope to deal with adversity, to deal with trauma, and to be able to move through those really tough things in life. You know, and it's no secret that right now, as you know, as a as a global community, we're all moving through something really challenging at all different levels. And what's really helped me over the last 13, 14 months is being able to, you know, to fill my cup with the things that help keep my resilience in check. I love to use this image with clients and with my team. When you think about resilience, think about the bamboo plant, which is such a beautiful plant. And the bamboo is a renewable resource, right? And so it can bend. It can bend quite a lot, but it can't break. And I like to use that image to just sort of describe resiliency, because you can bend, but you cannot break. And the more you do things for yourself, for your wellness, to fill your cup, the more you can fill your resilience during these really tough times. And that those are the things that help you weather. Those are the things that, you know, give you that sort of, you know, courage to be able to keep pushing when it's when we really don't want to.
Yeah, that's such a good analogy. I think so many people right now actually are probably feeling like they are breaking, or like they are about to break, or have broken or reached a breaking point. Like you hear all these different catchphrases. Yeah. Above and beyond all of that, why is professional and personal resilience an important thing to keep in mind and to talk about in our lives?
Well, I think right now this pandemic is really a collective trauma, right? We're all going through it. And when we share, we see that we're more alike than different, that so many of us right now are struggling. You know, if I think about just what's happening in Ottawa, Ontario, where I live, right, we're in another set of lockdowns again. The kids are back home. And I can see it just in my team and with my friends and family that people are just sort of like, we're done. And the more I think we can talk about it, you know, even if it's 5 minutes at the beginning of a call to sort of say, hey, like, how are you doing? It helps not to feel alone, and it helps to realize that we're all sort of working in overdrive, right, to keep our resilience strong. I read a New York Times article this week, and I've actually, everybody I've chatted with is was familiar with it, so I really recommend it to listeners. And it comes up with a new term that I believe he's a sociologist coined, and it's called languishing. Did you read that article, Sherry?
I don't know if I did see that one.
Yeah. And he talks about languishing. He coined this new term as that sort of like feeling that so many people are having, where it's not like, okay, I'm in full burnout mode, you know, but I'm also not in a flow state. I'm languishing. I'm just sort of going, okay, like, what now? What more? How much
sort
longer?
Of like, sort of yeah. Like something's just not right.
Yeah. Like that Groundhog Day feeling over and over. Yeah. So I think a lot of us are languishing right now, and it's important to talk about it and to normalize it.
So what advice do you have, or what tools do you give? I mean, we've talked about what resilience is, and I think everybody's familiar with feeling not resilient or feeling that breaking point. But what do you, when you're doing your coaching, what do you advise for people to get through it? And build it long-term.
Yeah, that's a great question. Interestingly enough, you know, requests for coaching and for support is at an all-time high. And, you know, what I'm finding is that, you know, 2 years ago, a lot of the requests were kind of related to what's my why, right? What's my purpose? And now it's really kind of like, how can I move through this and build greater resilience, right? And so, because as a collective and individually, so many of us are feeling that overwhelm, the last thing I'd want to guide a client to do is, you know, to do some sort of like massive overhaul, right, of their wellness. And I'll say to them, like, pick one tiny thing that you can shift in your life. Because the ability to build up your resilience is that sort of collection of tiny habits, right? And I like to kind of describe it like the more tiny wellness habits you have, they compound over time. And when those compound over time, right, as a person, you build up that resilience. And so with a client, I might say, okay, what is that sort of tiny action you can take? It might be something small like, you know what, I'm sitting at my computer all day. I'm not getting out to walk. Okay, so when could you take a 15-minute walk? Well, okay, I guess I could take it, you know, at 8:15 before I get on my morning calls. Okay, great. Well, I'm also not, you know, I don't have enough time for myself. And I'll say, well, you know, are you a reader? Do you like podcasts? Well, yeah, I do. I love those. Okay, so I'll introduce the concept of habit stacking, which is, it comes from James Cleary, who's a fantastic entrepreneur and coach. And James Cleary talks about habit stacking as, okay, so you're trying to make time for things, but you don't have enough time. Well, what if you took your walk and worked on your, you know, your physical wellness and then stacked it with, okay, I'm going to listen to a podcast right now. And that's your sort of, you know, emotional or soul wellness. So there's little hacks, little things we can do. And you walk around the block 15, 20 minutes and you come back and you sort of feel a bit refreshed. And it's one small thing. So maybe you didn't do an hour workout at the gym because the gyms are closed, but you got out and you got fresh air, you got some vitamin D and you did something for yourself. So those are the types of small things that I encourage people to look at. And you can really like customize it and kind of pick and choose what fills you up. What do you like doing?
Yeah, I absolutely love that pick one tiny thing advice, because I think when we get to a point of burnout or what feels like burnout, you almost get to a point of like, oh, nothing matters. Like I need to, like you said, either do a full overhaul or like we need to open everything back up or I'll never be happy again. Because you know, these things weigh on us over time. And so that it sort of brings the power back to you, to pick one thing. It puts you in control.
Useful. You know, Sherry, if I'm being honest too, I have experienced a burnout, a full on, burnout a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, it seems like another life. And so, when you get to that place where you've hit the rock bottom and you know, you can come back out of it, that's part of resilience too, right? Is having that happen and, you know, having something really rough happen, but know that you will survive it and you can come out of it. That's part of it too. And what worked for me when I was moving through that, period in my life was doing the small, tiny little habits, right? Just, okay. Like today I'm just going to do a walk or, you know, I'm going to get out in nature and just call a friend. So I think those are the things we need to encourage ourselves to do. Not the big things right now, like really what's mission critical, right? What's mission critical for our health right now? What's mission critical at work?
And on the topic of work, is there any specific advice you would give for people who work in communications? Because there might be specific aspects of comms work that we can protect ourselves against.
Yeah. Well, you know, as communicators, right, the pace is grueling. And the pace is grueling and hectic pretty much, right, 12 months of the year, sometimes quieter in the summer, depending where you work. But what I've noticed in our corporate communications team at Export Development Canada, and I know from chatting with a lot of colleagues throughout comms and with IABC, that the pace hasn't stopped. If anything, it's gotten busier and busier, you know, working from home and like you never kind of have that shut off valve, right? The thing that the leadership team in comms has been doing where I work is really challenging ourselves to look at the asks that we're getting and look at what's mission critical versus what is a nice to have, right? So what we're finding is that not only are people overwhelmed, but they are telling us that they feel like there's too much communication. It's almost over communication right now. And I think because we're all spending more time on devices than ever, right, that we need to start thinking about being even more strategic and more critical about what we communicate and when. And so this does help with a communicator's resilience, right? Because maybe instead of having, you know, I don't know, 20 things in your pipeline for content, you might have a handful of really good pieces and then take that content and repurpose it, right? Okay, so how can I leverage this content for social? How can I leverage it, right, for a blog or for an article on my intranet site? So, you know, really looking at how can I repurpose things, what's nice to have versus mission critical. And another big one, let's move away from, you know, perfection, right? We can be okay with good enough. we're working through a global pandemic. We have a lot right now, and sometimes good enough is enough. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah, and I think that works, you know, whether you're looking at the work of the agency or organization that you work for, but it also works personally. If you look at like your personal life and say, what is mission critical? Like, it would be great if I was, you know, training to run a marathon right now, but maybe this
I was
is
just
not...
thinking about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, you know, as it gets warmer, but maybe this is not the time, right? Like, maybe this is okay that I'm spending more time on my couch and that's what I need right now. And the world will continue to turn.
A good day for me, Sherry, is double block walk. My boys and I call it double block walk. So on a regular day where we're like, we just got to get out and walk. We got to walk the dog. We're like, okay, we just do the block, which is about 15 minutes. Double block walk is a good day because you do two blocks. Like they're two big blocks, not New York blocks, but big blocks. Like we've done a double block walk, you know, mom, or we've done two double block walks. So yeah. So for me right now, that's the benchmark, a double block walk. So whatever it is, right? It doesn't have to be training for that marathon. I think in the beginning of the pandemic, right, so many people were like, we've got all this time. We need a new hobby. And we've so moved away from that, right? We're so, the pendulum has swung completely on the other end. And so I'd really encourage people, right, whether you're in the field of communications or you're at home with, you know, dealing with elderly parents or kids or whatnot, we all have our situations, every single one of us. And it's tough. So, you know, take the time to rest. Take the time for self-care. Take a day off. And a lot of people say, well, everything's closed. There's nothing to do. It doesn't matter. It's about unplugging from your device for, you know, for 24, 48 hours. Like take a day and sleep in and read and, you know, walk. Like just take that time to rest. It's needed more than ever. And I don't think we realize how exhausted we all are.
Yeah. What do you tell people or what do you say to people who feel like there's too much pressure and they don't have that ability to slow down? They just can't because they're so stressed. They're so overwhelmed. Maybe they don't have an understanding employer or an understanding employer. And maybe they're on the receiving end of, you know, 10 times as many comms requests and they're not in a position of power where they can say, I can't do this right now and keep their job. How do you approach that?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. I think at the end of the day, we always do have a choice, right? If we're feeling overwhelmed, like what's the one thing we can let go of? I mean, in our personal lives, but I would never advocate to say, okay, let go of something that's, if your wellness is not being, prioritized above, you know, a really crazy heavy workload. Well, there's a challenge there, right? And so, you know, you'd want to be able to hopefully talk to your leader, say how you're feeling. I think more than ever, empathetic leadership is needed. And, you know, my hope is that people have that option. If they don't, then reach out to a friend, reach out to a coach. Coaching services, reach out to a certified coach. That's important. But reach out to a coach, somebody who can listen to you. And coaching is designed not to give you advice, but to really guide you. And a lot of coaches have been trained to provide solution-focused coaching. So working with the client to look for solutions and other alternatives. There's always another way. There always is another way. But it's giving yourself that permission to, you know, think differently, question things, right? Push back and put your wellness first. And I know that's a hard thing. It is, but it takes that kind of courage to build up resilience.
Yeah. And you've seen an increase in demand, you mentioned as well, for people seeking help.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in my part-time coaching practice, I continue to get a lot of requests, at EDC. We have kicked off, it's called the Coaching Community of Practice, and it's a group of certified volunteer coaches from all different kind of departments throughout EDC who volunteer their time to offer coaching services for EDCers. And it's a really great grassroots community that has grown, and like the demand is higher than ever as we move through the pandemic. So people need to talk. You know, whatever your situation is, if you're living on your own, if you're living in a, you know, a house full of kids that are homeschooled, or you're caring for elderly parents, you need to talk and you need an outlet. So reach out to a coach, you know, go through your employee assistance program or talk to your leader. And if you don't have those options, like, you know, reach out to a friend or family member. Get out in nature. That's another thing again, right? Just being able to walk outside. I know it's harder depending on where people are living right now, but even if it's just around where you live, a little bit of vitamin D and fresh air can go a long way for sure.
And it can be a one or two block walk.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be a half a block walk.
On a tough day, it's one block. On a good day, when your resilience is high, it can be double block or triple walk. Hey, people could probably do much better than I do, but that's what I can handle right now. And I'm okay with it, you know, and being okay with it, being okay with what you can do. But I really just sort of advocate for small, you know, tiny habits, creating boundaries, and just really be okay with, you know, with good enough.
Tara, you've given us so much useful stuff to think about that people can take away from this. And this podcast is going to be coming out during what will be Mental Health Week in Canada. Before we go, is there anything else you want to leave people with or add to the conversation?
Yeah, I've been giving a lot of thought to Mental Health Week too, and knowing that people are more than ever feeling that burnout, feeling that fatigue. The last thing I'd want to leave people with is that feeling of, oh my goodness, I need to do a complete overhaul and build up my resilience. What I'd rather leave everybody with is, you know, what's one small, tiny thing that you can do for your resilience? Like, what's one little action you can take during Mental Health Week? And a couple of questions that I often use with clients or with teams is, why does this matter to you? Because when we know our why of why we want to shift something for our wellness and our resilience, it makes all the difference, right? Because there's an emotion attached to it. And then ask yourself, when you're thinking about that tiny habit change, what positive impact, you know, would this have on me and those close to me, right? And so an example of is, I know that when I get out and have my morning walk and my morning coffee and I get up early and have time for myself, I'm a heck of a lot more patient with the kids in the morning, right? When I'm trying to get them set up for homeschool. And then the big one, the one that really, you know, gets people every time is, what might be the cost if I don't change this, if I don't make this change? What's the cost to my health? And so, you know, my wish for everybody is just, you know, one tiny thing, as they're moving through the next couple of months. I really feel that, you know, we're getting closer to things, you know, hopefully going back to a little more freedom in our day-to-day lives. But in the meantime, you know, take care of yourselves and take care of your wellness.
I love that. Tara, thank you so much. I literally was taking notes. I really appreciate having you on and best of luck.
Thanks for the invite.
And that was Tara Sutorius, a leadership and wellness coach and director of communications at Export Development Canada. And if you're interested in finding the New York Times article that Tara mentioned, its title is Feeling Blah During the Pandemic. It's called Languishing. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you looking for professional development opportunities? Consider becoming an IABC Ottawa member, the local chapter of IABC's global network of communications professionals. An IABC Ottawa membership will help you develop your strategic communication skills, create connections, and advance the profession. By joining IABC Ottawa, you will enjoy unparalleled access to member-only events and programs such as monthly member meetups and a mentorship program. Sign up today. For more information, visit us online at ottawa.iabc.com.
And now it's time for the lightning round. This is the part of the show where we feature an IABC Ottawa member or volunteer and ask them to answer a set of rapid fire questions about their career interests, life interests, all of that fun stuff. And this month, I am thrilled to introduce to you Brooke Anderson, who was the IABC Ottawa Volunteer of the Month for April. Brooke, thank you so much for joining me and welcome to The Voice.
Thanks so much for having me. So before we start, why don't you tell us a bit about what you do as your day job, but also how you came to find IABC Ottawa?
Sure. My day job is working as an account director for Edelman Canada, and I work on the corporate communications practice, so doing lots of strategic communications planning and programming for clients in private sector, public sector, and nonprofit. I came to IABC. Originally, I discovered IABC in Toronto when I was doing my postgrad certificate in PR at Humber College. So I was introduced to IABC there, went to a couple events. And then when I moved to Ottawa about 7 years ago, I got involved with the chapter here, going to events, and more recently decided to volunteer.
And you were just Volunteer of the Month. Can you tell us a bit about what you've been working on as a volunteer?
Absolutely. I am on the membership team. So my primary role is writing member spotlights. So speaking with different members in our community and profiling them with short articles on our website, similar to this format, asking them questions about their career and some rapid fire questions. And occasionally, you know, I'll write some other articles and content and just contribute to overall sort of membership strategy.
Yes. And I love our member spotlights, especially in virtual times. It's like the only real way to get to know people sort of like one on one. And I find people just have really like insightful comments or like their advice or their favorite quote or whatever. So I've really enjoyed reading them.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay tuned for the next one coming soon.
Okay, will do. All right, let's get into this month's questions. What do you appreciate the most about the IABC community?
It's a few things. I appreciate the professional development opportunities, mainly through the events. I think the events that IABC produces are really high quality and relevant, interesting. So I always look forward to participating in events. I think just being part of a professional network, it's great for networking and connecting with people in the field, but who, you know, work at different organizations or do different types of communications. So I've met a lot of great people through it. And I think for me, just the options to volunteer are pretty wide ranging. So I really liked that there's a lot of flexibility and lots of different ways that you can get involved if you want to give back.
Yeah, it's so true. We do so many things at IABC. There's definitely lots of different ways to volunteer. Like, you don't just have to do one thing. What quality do you value the most in colleagues or managers?
This was a tough one. I would just say like reliability and having someone, you know, that you can count on to do great work, you know, on time, and someone who will have your back and kind of be a team player.
Yes, very, very important. What would your dream job be, Brooke, if you weren't working in communications?
My dream job would be writing novels. I would be a best-selling novelist of probably historical fiction or chick lit.
Yes. Fully support this. I'm a huge reader on the side. So, and I think that's like why too, like a lot of people who like to write are in communications, because even if it's not super creative writing, you can still kind of exercise a bit of that.
Yeah. That was definitely it for me. I've always loved writing and did a lot of creative writing when I was younger. And it was more like, how can I use my skill set as a writer but get paid for it and have a viable career? So that's how I came to PR.
And this segues nicely into our next question, which is name a book, movie or podcast or article that you've read or watched lately. It can be comms related if you want, that's made you think.
Okay, I have a huge stack of library books that I'm working my way through. The one I finished recently was called The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett.
Yep.
You might have heard of it. It's a pretty buzzy book this year. That was awesome. It's about two like twin sisters in the American South who are African American, and one decides to live her life kind of passing as a white woman. And it's just, it's a really cool story about the different generations of the family and how their lives sort of intersect decades later, and makes you think about race and identity and how we present ourselves to the world and what we, the secrets we kind of hold. And right now I'm almost done a great book called The Woman Before Wallace by an author from Toronto. And it's about the mistress of the Prince of Wales before Wallace Simpson, kind of like the untold story of that relationship. So it's pretty cool.
Okay, I will have to add that one to my to-read list. I have read The Vanishing Half. My book club read it, and I will second that it is a great read. And Brooke, besides books, or you can answer with books if you'd like, but what's been helping you get through the pandemic?
Books for sure. Thank you, Ottawa Public Library. I would say, you know, my husband, my dog, we got a puppy last year. Actually almost a year ago today. So having a puppy, it was just like the best thing to kind of bring some joy and light to our lives and distract us from what was going on. And just caring for another creature and training him has been amazing. And a wonderful way to kind of like socialize with people safely at a distance. When you become a dog owner, I don't know if you have a dog, but we've just met so many neighbors and, you know, people at the dog park. And so you still get a bit of that social interaction, even though it's not normal times. And I mean, also, I would say just getting outside. So related to having a dog, just walking, running, hiking, trying to stay active has helped.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who can relate to that. Definitely. I don't have a dog, but people with dogs as well, I have heard that. And even like people just like having them on their laps in like work calls, Zoom calls, video calls, you know, that it seems to bring a bit of joy. What kind of dog is it?
We have a Boston Terrier. His name is Crosby.
Crosby. Okay. Good name. Well, Brooke, thank you so much. It was really wonderful to talk to you today and to hear about your IABC experience and get to know you a bit better. Thanks for coming on The Voice.
Thanks again.
And that is it for this episode of IABC Ottawa's The Voice, episode 130. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like this episode, please share it and send us a review or feedback. You can reach IABC Ottawa on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Our handle is at IABC Ottawa, as well as LinkedIn. And you can also check out our social and website. Again, that is ottawa.iabc.com. While you are there, click on Jobline to find your next opportunity or the right communications professional to join your team. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the IABC Ottawa newsletter. Our annual general meeting is going to be coming up in June, and that is something that you don't want to miss. So if you are following us in all of the places, you will be guaranteed to get an update. I am your host, Sherry Ask. And until next time, take care of yourselves, guys, and let the music play.